Good morning from Family Bible Church. We're in Bible study. It's December the 26th, the day after Christmas. And we're going to sing, Come Ye Thankful People Come, which you'll recognize the tune. It's 559 in our hymn book, after a word of prayer. We're studying Hebrews chapter 13. So this is the last study we're going to do in Hebrews, and then Pastor Pete is going to teach us on eschatology, I believe, starting next week. So let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning grateful for the season, for the freedom, for all the things that you give us, life itself, and for salvation, full and free. We just thank you so much for that. We know that it's only you that can accomplish this. Father, I pray for everything that's going to go on this morning as we worship you. We ask that we'll be changed, that we'll be more like you, that we'll realize more of what you've done for us. Be with everybody that's involved. Lord, give them encouragement, strength, and your words so that we can understand. We ask it in Jesus' name. All right. Come ye thankful people, come. Come ye thankful people, come. Raise the song of harvest home. All is safely gathered in ere the winter storms begin. God our Maker doth provide for our wants to be supplied. Come to God's own temple, come, raise the song of harvest home. All the world is God's own field, fruit unto his grace to yield. Weed and tares together sown, unto joy or sorrow grown. First the blade and then the ear, then the full corn shall appear. Lord of harvest, grant that we wholesome grain and pure may be. For the Lord our God shall come and shall take his harvest home from his fields in that day, all offenses purge away. Give his angels charge at last in the fear that you cast. But the fruitful years to store in his corner evermore. Even so, Lord, quickly come to thy final harvest home. Gather thou thy people in, free from sorrow, free from. Forever purified in thy presence to abide. Come with all thine angels, come, raise the glorious harvest home.
Believe it or not, there are some things in there that will be related from Hebrews chapter 13. Basically, that we're looking for Mount Zion. Mount Sinai. We've got a heavenly inheritance coming, and we're looking for that. So I'm going to back up just a little bit, and I'm reading out of a Legacy Bible this morning to start with. Reads real well. I'm going to start with 12:25. And the Word of God says, See to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if those did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape who turn away from him who warns from heaven. And his voice shook the earth then, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. Now this expression, yet once more, indicates the removing of those things which can be shaken, as of created things, so that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. Let the love of the brothers continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember the prisoners as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you yourselves also are in the body. Marriage is to be held in honor among all, and the marriage bed is to be undefiled, for the sexually immoral and adulterers God will judge. Make sure that your way of life is free from the love of money, being content with what you have, for he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you, so that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be carried away by varied and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods, through which those who were so occupied were not benefited. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no authority to eat, for the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy places by the high priest as an offering for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people through his own blood, suffered outside the gate. So let us go out to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach, for here we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking the one to come. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that confess his name. And do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account, so that they will do this with joy and not with groaning, for this world would be unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we are convinced that we have a good conscience, desiring to conduct ourselves well in all things. And I urge you all the more to do this, so that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, our Lord Jesus, equip you in every good thing to do his will, by doing in us what is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. But I urge you, brothers, bear with this word of exhortation, for I have written to you briefly. Know that our brother Timothy has been released, with whom, if he comes soon, I will see you. Greet all of your leaders and all the saints. Those from Italy greet you. Grace be with you all. All right. So, the first thing that I want to address is the definition of hospitality, and I have a great definition from a buddy of mine from many, many years ago. Hospitality is persecuting with kindness. This is from an old Marine sniper. He says, if you want to show hospitality, that's what it is. You persecute them with kindness. He had a way of saying things that made me remember. So, in this, there's several things that we're told. One of them is that if God's holy, you need to be holy. And then the other thing is that we need to be looking out for our brothers. I know I told you last week in chapter 12, the race thing was out there, like a foot race or any kind of competition race. And I told you not to look at other people during the race because that's a distraction. We have a goal. We have a track. We have an end game to hit. And we don't want to be distracted by looking at somebody else. But in this case, we're being told exactly the opposite of what I told you last week. Look out for your brethren. Also, I have to tell you, this is there's people out there nowadays that have difficulty with being members of a body. And there's several things in Scripture with regard to being a member. One of the things that needs to be able to be done is church discipline needs to be able to be done. And if you're not in a membership, that's difficult. And Scripture speaks explicitly, like in Matthew 18, about church discipline and how it's to be carried out, who's to do it, and all that stuff. And you cannot really look out for your brethren if you're not, and they're not, in a body. We're all together. We're in this, and we are different than the world. And one of the things the Scripture says, John 13:35, it says, by this all people will know that you're my disciples, if you have love for one another. And I have to confess, I'm deficient. I don't have a good excuse. It's one of those things that bothers me. Whenever I read 1 John, and it says, by this you'll know, whether you're in the faith or not, is if you have love for one another, yikes. I have to go check myself and go, oh, do I, or am I playing a game, or, you know. I like to think that I love them because I try to tell them the truth. But I draw some pretty hard lines with people sometimes, and it bothers me. So, verse 2 in chapter 13. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. For by this, some have entertained angels without knowing it. And one of the references that are given for entertaining angels is Lot. Whenever the angel showed up, I don't really call it entertainment, and I separate things between hospitality and entertainment a little bit, even though the very words right there in Scripture. Whenever I think of entertainment, I think of having fun. I believe what this is saying is this is spiritual and physical help. Keep in mind, believers in the people that are, a lot of the people that were prisoners here, like in verse 3, are in there because of Christ.
in there because of their belief, in there because of their profession. And I've talked to some of you guys this morning before we started about Pliny. And I don't know if it's Pliny the Elder or Pliny the Younger, but one of his problems was he wrote to some of the other leadership in countries around him. And one of the problems he had was, he says, what do I do with these Christian guys? These guys are helping prisoners and stuff. He just hated it. You know, nobody else would help them. They were bringing food. They were helping them with their health. And I don't know if it was Pliny the Younger or Pliny the Elder, but it confounded Pliny that these Christians would do that. And what that did was it brought even more persecution on Christians because he fined them, probably particularly women, and find out who was helping the prisoners, he'd persecute them. So this is, you know, we're not in that situation. The people that he's talking about are prisoners here are people that were prisoners for Christ. So he's saying show hospitality to them. I have to bring up something else. If you would turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 14. One of the other things that I've, right or wrong, one of my pet peeves. You know, we have pot trusts, potlucks. Baptists are known for potlucks. And I usually give people a hard time whenever I hear that we're going to have a potluck. The first thing I mention is 1 Corinthians chapter 12. What? Have you not houses to eat in? I'm sorry, I'm just that way. But in Luke chapter 14, just so you know, the Bible explicitly tells you who to invite. And it's not about a potluck, but I have misused it that way. Look at 14:12. And he also went on to say to the one who had invited him, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and repayment come to you. But when you give a reception, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, and they do not have the means to repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of righteousness. Encouragement. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yes. Yes, yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes, it does. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Right. You exercise discernment.
Yeah, and he gave us a reasoning ability.
Yes.
Yeah. I will sink or swim on the belief that Mormons and evangelicals worship the same Jesus. That's all I need to know.
And that's the last thing you think.
Maybe a nice man. There's all this hype about putting it in. I don't know about
any of
that.
Well,
I just know that there is two things. They have the best of intentions.
Yes.
They seem like nice people.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what we're supposed to judge them.
Right.
It sounds cold and harsh.
Yeah.
Boy, many people start to come around. I have a niece that says, we moved to college and drove you over to this. And I just never responded back. And I said, I looked into it. And they are just use discretion.
Yes. Yeah.
This is the best.
If you're saying we worship the same Jesus, let's do some comparing. One of the guys that I was listening to this week, one of the other things, he's an elder in a church, you know, in a church that has more than one elder, which I believe is the correct way to do that. And he's had several people come to him and said, hey, I want to be elder here. And he says, okay, sure, let's sit down. He says, this is one of the first things we pick on. He says, tell me about you and hospitality. How do you exercise that? What's your track record? What have you got there? He says, because that's it's a key Christian virtue. And so an elder must have that. I see that in you, Pastor Pete. You're always, you're really nicer to me than you should be. And I know what your heart is like.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. All right. So, and you never know the impact that you'll have on people whenever you exercise hospitality. So, all right, and moving on down. Then it's interesting to me, if you weren't accustomed to reading scripture, probably go nuts when you get to the next deal. Verse 4, it's like it almost switches subjects. It says, let marriage be held in honor among all. Oh, my word. What's going on here? And then he starts talking about the love of money. Well, these are two things that Satan has a field day with. If he can mess up your marriage and get you to be covetous, unsatisfied with what you've got, not dependent on God, which is also mentioned in this thing. Actually, it was mentioned in chapter 12:25 or 26, was a quote from Haggai. Anyway, marriage and the love of money are two things that are really mess up a Christian. If those things are not taken care of correctly, it can really get you in trouble. Let marriage be held in honor among all. Let the marriage bed be undefiled. For fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. I wonder what he might have to say. It's not that he will just say something about it. He's going to do something about it. If you're, it's not that
fornication and adultery cannot be forgiven, because it can. They're not unpardonable sins, but it's not a practice among believers, and it needs to be repented of. It needs to be not repeated if you fall into that. But God's going to judge everybody for those things. So the author mentions that. Let your character be free from the love of money. Money is okay. It's okay to have stuff, but it's not to get in the way of your ministry. It's not to get in the way of the Lord. He needs to be first. It's clearly in Scripture, there's people that God blessed monetarily, and it was His choice to do that. But whenever we're tied up with gimme, 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 I got to have more, 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 that's a problem. That's a problem. And I see that, unfortunately, and particularly in our government, we're just plain old being robbed. Just plain old being robbed. People that are doing it for monetary gain. Yes, with our money. Yes. Mm-hmm. All right. Let your character, verse 5, let your character be free from the love of money, being content with what you have, for He Himself, that's Christ, has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. Those are great promises. Great promises. I won't leave you. I won't forsake you. I'm not going to turn my back on you. So that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What shall man do to me? Reminds you of the verse that says, fear not those who can kill the body. Fear the guy that can kill both body and soul. That's talking about Jesus. All right. Remember those who led you. And there's a qualifier in there, like George was saying. Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you. So this is not just anybody. This is spiritual leadership. They spoke the word of God to you. That's the only people that are going to do that spiritually. And consider the result of their conduct. Imitate their faith. So, again, Pastor Pete and Dave both are under the gun to perform in front of us. And we're to imitate them. Give the word of God to you. Well, at least you're better off than in a lot of places. There's a lot of trouble to be avoided by having elders in the church. Right. Yep.
So if you've got the masterhood, that's a
contribution.
That's the worst.
And
And that's what I was brought up in all my life. Washed up. I could tell you so many stories about those stuff. Fathers of mine, and I've always asked the question, how do the sheep elect the shepherd? Tell me about that. Oh, yeah. Yep. Keep you right there where you belong. Oh my goodness. Yeah. So verse 7 says, remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you. So we're called to remember those, to keep them in mind. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Not only is that a great song, that's true. He does not change. That's one of the things that thrills me about my God. It is every time I come to Him, He's the same. It's not like, you know, even our earthly fathers. I love my dad, and he was a trooper. He was a straight guy. But sometimes you wonder, what's it going to be like today? You know, what's going on in his life that's affecting him? God's not that way. He's not affected by that. I realized that he's mad at the, how is it said? He's mad at the sinner every day. But he's steady. That's one of the things that I really enjoy about God. All right, verse 9. Do not be carried away by varied and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods through which those who were thus occupied were not benefited. And then it says, we have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. That verse seemed a little bit weird to me. And let me read to you what my ESV commentary says about that. The Levitical priest had the right to a portion of every animal sacrifice as a peace offering at the Old Testament tabernacle. As long as those priests and others depend on the old system of animal sacrifices for atonement and peace with God, they cannot benefit from Christ's heavenly high priestly ministry. So, that's what that verse is about. And we're going to have to hurry to get done. Verse 11, for the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy place by the high priest as an offering for sin are burned outside the camp. That's Exodus 29:14 as a reference. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people through his own blood, suffered outside the gate. So, comparison is made, and Jesus as high priest and sacrifice is far superior to those animal sacrifices, but it's mentioned that it was done outside the gate. That's with reference to sin. One of the things you remember from Exodus is the scapegoat and the priests laying their hands on the animal symbolically, and that goat being let out to where it can't make it back. That's a picture of our sins being taken away. Just symbolism there. But Jesus takes our sin away, separates it from us, never to return. But he was, he suffered outside the gate. In other words, his blood sacrifice is for our sins. Hence, let us go out to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. That's something some of us, I myself, probably don't do as well as I should. So if you identify with Christ, that's one of the things that's going to happen, is people are not going to look at you favorably always. Matter of fact, you can mention God and get away with it with your friends and stuff like that, but whenever you start focusing on Jesus. Yep. Verse 15, through him, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of the lips that give thanks to his name. And do not neglect, there's that word again, keep on hearing the word neglect. Do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with it, such sacrifices, God is pleased. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls. Again, this is not a carte blanche thing for obeying everybody in government. If they're not doing what God says to do, then they're not to be obeyed. Let them do this. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls, as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this will be unprofitable to you. There's a bunch of us need to learn that, huh? We don't need to be going around being a pain. Right. Yes, the ones that watch over your souls. Right. Most certainly. Pray for us that we are sure that we have a good conscience, desiring to conduct ourselves honorably in all things, and I urge you all the more to do this so that I might be restored to you sooner. I love the benediction that we hear from our pastor every week. I can't quote it yet, but I like it whenever I hear that. I pay attention to it. It's repeated. But I look forward to it every week. And we have a benediction here. Yeah. Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you in every good thing to do his will, not your will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. And then the end of it, you know, we had a discussion at the beginning of this book as to who the author was. And whenever I look at the very end, I almost want to go, well, doggone, sure sounds a lot like Paul, but I can't make that jump. Anyway. All right. Anything else, guys?
Yeah. I know.
I know.
Yeah, Chuck Swindoll used to say, if you can do anything else, don't preach. Don't be a pastor. And there may be some truth in that. Although I want my pastor to have every gift that he can possibly have, one of them being the gift of administration, being able to not only disseminate the word of God, but use it in everyday life. Those are things that take some talent and some wings. Right. And unfortunately, you reference Cherie. I know Cherie supports you 100%, and she's a blessing to you. In the case of the guy that I was talking about, one of the problems is his wife, for whatever reason, and sometimes, like we were talking about earlier, church members are sometimes really hard on pastors and do things that are just unthinkable. And that is hard on people. We have feelings. We remember what's been done to us. Anyway, she no longer was with him as far as helping him minister. And that's a problem. Whenever you don't have that support, it's difficult. It's difficult not to have your wife's support. Oh, yeah. Yes. Right. Yeah. Right. And I'm not making an excuse for my buddy either, but one of the other things that happened was, unlike you, whenever they got married, he was not a pastor. This came afterwards. She finds herself. Yeah. How does that work? And I have mixed feelings about it. Yeah, it does. All right. With that, I think I'm going to say we have finished Hebrews. Yeah. Let's have a prayer and we'll get out of here. Father, I just thank you again for the day, for a time to come and worship, for the freedom to do that. I thank you for the season that we've designated as your date of birth. But thank you for coming and for the purpose of dying to save me and these men and people in this church. Just thank you so much for that. Go with us, Father, as we continue in the day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.